on this episode of Japan 2.0.
24 years of frustration of and kind of having this secret that I kind of held with myself that I really like Japan. When I met Matt, he was kind of on the similar wavelength. This is impression and feeling about Japan. And the mystical world of game and wonder, arcade centers like no other, nostalgia. Yeah, every moment, everything you see, wanna jump all on it. Damn, walking through these halls, my childhood is written on these walls. I breathe the air deep down. I know this place is where I belong. My destiny, my wildest dream, my fantasy, my inspiration and my energy. Everything up to this point, this place has led me. Yeah, there's no place that's better. My fascination can't go on forever. So real, like a faded meeting with a brand new new shape from beginning.
2.0.0.
Hey, this is the end of day 2 on my trip in Tokyo. My last solo day without my partner, podcasting partner in crime, Matt. Last time I recorded in the morning right after I got off the bus, and man, I mean, I knew this before, but there is nothing going on before like 11 o'clock. And those 4 hours I had to kill were really not fun. I don't know, it was kind of a weird start to the trip. Tokyo gives me this energy. I feel, it's so cliche, like alive, or there's like this kind of like buzz feeling when I'm there. And I'm waiting for that to go away because I've just been somewhere, I can't keep track, between, you know, 10 and 15 times now. And eventually it's going to wear off. If I live here, you know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, every trip it gets smaller and smaller. And it's kind of been down to like just the first day that I really feel it. And I was kind of worried that, yep, this is the trip where I'm not going to get that Tokyo buzz. You know, I still love the place, but it's just not that new excitement, you know? But I did get it. It did kick in around 11 o'clock when, like, I could start going to a lot of places I planned to go or wanted to go. I had to be pretty, like, creative with how I spent my time. Or I kind of just had to, like, go to places I didn't really want to go. After going to a cafe, I went to a bookstore, Dakiyama Tea Site, which we've referred to before. Awesome, amazing place. You know, so great. But I just sat on the bus for 9 to 10 hours. I don't know, just sitting and reading a book made me kind of feel antsy. The thing about this trip is it's crazy hot. It's, you know, 100 degrees every day. Heat index is like 120. It's crazy humid, as Tokyo and Japan is. So, like, walking around and exploring neighborhoods, which is my favorite thing to do in Japan and in Tokyo in particular, is not that fun. I can handle about 10 minutes of it, and then I need to jump in somewhere. And that's how I've been getting through this trip. If you come to Japan in the summer, every 10 minutes you just gotta jump in a shop, even if you don't really care about it, just to kind of like recool, or go to the konbini and get water. But yeah, Tea Site was good, but it didn't give me that like special feeling, you know. And it wasn't really, like I said, until I got to go to a Taro Okamoto museum. He does the Tower of the Sun. If you don't know it, search it. Awesome artist, psychedelic artist. I got to go to his house/museum. He has two museums. He has a big museum on the outside of Tokyo. And then in the center of Tokyo, in Aoyama, he has like his house, his work studio. And they've converted that into like a gift shop/museum. It was very cheap. It was 600 yen. And you know, if you're a fan of architecture, you'll definitely like it. He does sculptures primarily, but that place focuses kind of more on his painting side. Very cool place. I could have spent a lot of money on his paraphernalia. But I have a rule when I travel in Japan. I've mentioned before that Japan is kind of a consumer's paradise. And if you're a consumer, everyone's a consumer, if you like consuming, then you'll love it. And I've kind of figured that out about myself, that I'm a consumer and I enjoy consuming goods. It makes me happy. And I love Japan and I love Tokyo for that reason. But I've known people who don't, they kind of like anti-consumerism, you know, and they don't have as good of a time here. So in this consumer's paradise with certain funds, limited funds, I always wait to the last day of my trip to buy what I want to buy, because you never know what you're going to see. And that is when my like Tokyo buzz started kicking in. I got to go to this museum, this artist I've known for years I never got to go to. And then I start going to shops, and already, like, you know, first, second, third shop, all right, I could, if I don't see anything better than this, I'll buy this. And then I go to the next shop, all right, this is better than the first place. I'm just talking about, yeah, records and clothes primarily are the things I'm always, you know, shopping for, even if I don't need them. They're always my wants. Yeah, so I just start lining things up. I went to a place called Undercover. And they have this Space Odyssey 2001 influenced line that just came out right when I was here. It's kind of exciting to see that. I'm a massive Stanley Kubrick fan. So I saw this hoodie that I really, really like. It's a very long, oversized hoodie, which is a kind of common style you see in Japan. It has like firefighter, like reflective material on it. And then it has like just imagery from the movie, David character. And it was really, really, really awesome. But I was kind of like afraid to check the price tag, and I don't know. They always hide the price tags in Japan. It's kind of a strange thing. Even at like really nice shops where you think, you know, people have money, you don't need to like hide the price. I could see you doing it at like Uniqlo or Gap or something, but at these kind of nicer places, it's kind of weird. They particularly like tuck it in almost like it's very hard. And I have expensive tastes, but I'm quite frugal, so I'm always looking for a good deal. Anyway, I went in, and I really like this thing, but it's huge, and it's heavy, and it's midsummer, and it's 40 degrees, and I don't want to try on this massive hoodie. So I liked it, and I went, where else did I go after that? I'm trying to think. I went to this place called Nike Lab. It's this exclusive Nike store. I think there's like 5 of them in the whole world. It was in a very residential neighborhood. It looked like a house. There was no other shops near there. And that was super cool. I got there like 10 minutes early, and just to wait 10 minutes out in the hot sun would be killer. So there was a convenience store right across the way. And I swear 80% of the people in the Family Mart in the convenience store were just waiting to get into this special Nike store. Because this is too hot, and everyone was just staring at magazines, but you could tell no one was really interested. And as soon as 11 o'clock hit, everyone left and went over together. I was like cracking up, no one else, everyone was too cool to care. And that place is cool, a very small selection, but it's so niche. Kind of the cool thing about shopping at all these kind of niche underground, you know, hip stores in Tokyo is you never get like pretentiousness from the staff there, and I really love that, because back home, you know, I would go to some of these shops and I feel like if I didn't walk in or in the right clothes, oh, I should say, by the way, going on these kind of nice, you know, expensive shops, luxurious areas of Tokyo, I got off the bus. I couldn't change at all. And I don't know, for 9 hours on the bus, I wanted to be comfortable on the bus. So I wore like kind of like very comfortable shorts. They have like a 1980s, 90s print with like lizards all over them and stuff. Kind of look like bathing suit. And I just had like a Dragon Ball Z like $10 Uniqlo shirt on, and you know, if I was back home, I'd probably be a little self-conscious about like walking around like the hippest neighborhoods of LA or New York and going into like kind of nice expensive shops. But yeah, in Japan, I don't care, man. Maybe it's just living in another country, you just feel kind of free, you know, to follow the social norms. But yeah, man, everyone's so nice to me at a lot of these shops. You know, they're selling like $200 t-shirts. The staff would tell me, oh, hey, nice t-shirt, I love Dragon Ball. Who knows, maybe they're getting paid just to be nice to you or whatever, but I feel it was sincere. So yeah, I started getting that energy and started getting that buzz. And you might just be saying to yourself, like, so what, it's just shopping, like, really, you're crazy about shopping? But all these places are like exclusive, one-off. I'll give you an example. That Undercover hoodie, which is the thing that has been plaguing my mind so far. I went back today, a day later, for example, to show you how exclusive this stuff was. I saw it at 2 different shops yesterday, and gone. I went back today. I was like, yep, I think I want to buy that. Matt's coming tomorrow. He's not so into the clothing shopping and stuff. We do more like record shopping and kind of eating and, you know, vintage books and things like that. So I better like get all my crazy shopping out of the way today for clothes. Go back, sold out everywhere. And the same staff's working. I feel like they're kind of like, yeah, we told you yesterday you should have tried that on, should have bought that thing. But they were nice about it, of course. Anyway, I ended up running around all over today. I went to 4 different shops that sell Undercover. I think there's only 5 in all of Tokyo. And I finally got them hold it for me at the last shop. That's my big budget purchase of this trip. So now Matt's coming, and I have little free money that I want to spend. So I'll be doing lots of what they call out here eye shopping. Anyway, rewind though a little bit. After I did all my like shopping and the heat and stuff, I met up with our good and old friend we've known for a long time, Akagai. And he took me to a Tachibana festival, Matsuri. And Tachibana is this big summer festival. It goes on for a number of weeks. I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks. And it's a very like kind of sad romantic story. I don't know the exact details. You can search it. But it's about like these like star-crossed lovers who I think like never found each other. Maybe they found each other. Maybe I've made it more dramatic than it is. But yes, it's some kind of old tale of star-crossed lovers. And there's lots of cool, you always see things coming from the sky, like hanging down from the sky. To be honest, I wondered, like, it was kind of out of our way, and I had to check my luggage in a locker for the third time that day. And these things are kind of expensive. They're like $6 a pop. So I spent $18 yesterday, or 1,800 yen, just in storing my luggage 3 different times. Because I'd move around the different stations, I was meeting my friend, and it's just such a burden in a lot of these small shops, you know, to carry, like, bags. So I was like, yeah, do I really need to go to another subway station and check my luggage again? But it was just incredible. It was in a Shotengai. And check our Instagram stories. I saved them on there, like permanent ones. And you just see me walking through. And it's just, you got these like paper mache items that are hanging. And all the local staff and stores make their own paper mache item. So everything from Totoro to Chewbacca to all the anime, you know, baseball characters you can imagine. Players, baseball players, characters. What am I saying? Anime characters and baseball players. Yeah, it was just such a lively environment. There's people screaming and yelling and dancing and awesome food. I had like this grilled pork wrapped in rice on a stick, and it was so good. Yeah, just, you know, I love hanging out with local friends and stuff, because that did not feel like, you know, I'm doing my typical, you know, thing that I would do. It kind of got me out of my element. It's something that I was a little iffy on, but it'll probably be one of the best memories of the trip. Don't know about Jimbo Cho. Jimbo Cho is like the used book neighborhood, and in fact, I was standing right in front of the Shonen Jump office building, which is pretty cool. Shonen Jump is a big corporation, a manga corporation, and they're known for a lot of popular manga like One Piece and Naruto and Dragon Ball, among others. And yeah, their offices are, I'm just looking at their offices right now. It's a really awesome neighborhood. Lots of used magazines, used books, a lot of design books. Unfortunately, some of the bookstores, especially the ones that look really awesome, they have books like falling out of there everywhere. Those offices, or those bookstores, are all kanji. You know, there's very little that we can get. Hopefully I get some photos of this stuff for you guys, and so you can see it on the podcast or on the blog or on Instagram, and you know, check out some of the cool sites. I'd like to get some of those for us so you guys can see what Jimbo Cho is all about. It's always been one of my favorite neighborhoods. I used to come here when my wife was sleeping in. You know, on vacation, I'm an early bird, so I get up early. And whenever she has the opportunity to sleep in, you know, I want to give her that time. And I'll come out here to Jimbo Cho because it's kind of sleepy. It's an old neighborhood, and there's a lot of cafes and curry restaurants and a lot of Chinese restaurants for some reason. I'm not sure why, but I love Chinese food. So hopefully Dave and I find some good food out here. I like to come here for magazines as well. You know, one of those things that David and I bonded over were the fashion magazines. And the fashion magazine that I used to collect was Boon.
That was the name of the magazine. It was Urban Fashion Magazine. I used to get copies of this in the 90s from this little marketplace, little bookstore. Well, it wasn't a bookstore. They sold all kinds of Japanese trinkets and things. And it kind of was a mishmash of all things and everything. And they used to sell these magazines for like $1 a piece in a, like a little bargain bin. And yeah, that's where I used to pick those up. I'll have to ask David where where the beginnings of Popeye started from. I bet you it was his friend AJ. AJ got him into a lot of Japanese culture things. AJ is Korean, but he's one of the rare exceptions where he likes a lot of Japanese clothing lines and things like that, and got David into a lot of that stuff.
Hey everyone, it's day 3. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about budgeting if you're traveling to Japan. I think I mentioned before that I have a budget of around 5,000 yen or $50 on this trip. Now, what that includes is interesting. That doesn't include a hotel. In my mind, I wanted that to include transport, which is taking trains around. Typically, on all the trips I've come out here to Tokyo, I take the train maybe, obviously I need to take the train to get here, but once I'm here, I typically take the train about one time, maybe twice. I'm a big walker. I always stay in a location that I like, and I love just seeing like the back alleys of Tokyo. However, on this trip, the weather has been bad. It's either been horribly hot, or today is raining. A typhoon is coming for all the days that Matt and I are here together. So I need to take the train a little bit more. But generally, just 20 minutes across town in Tokyo is really cheap. It's like 200 yen, $2 each way. Out where I live in Kobe, 20 minutes on the train can cost you like $6 or $7 sometimes. So that's interesting. But here's kind of what I really forgot to talk about, was that I'm staying an hour outside of Tokyo with a friend, which has been really cool to see kind of rural life Tokyo. I've never seen that before. And to be honest, it's pretty different, or pretty much the same as like Osaka. But the main thing is that it costs 1,000 yen or $10 each day to come into Tokyo. And that really adds up. That's basically, you know, $20 a day that I'm spending, which I didn't consider. So if I'm going to hit my budget of 5,000 yen per day, I'm really only having 3,000 yen to spend. Now, if you consider three meals, $10 a meal, you can definitely do that, but I'm a big coffee fan. I like to have an alcoholic drink or two when I'm on vacation. Let's just say my first day here, I spent 9,000 yen. And mainly that was because I was out for about 19 hours that day. Almost, you know, just shy of like a full day out. I got dropped off in Shinjuku at 6 a.m. And Akagai, my friend, and I took the last train home at night and got home at like 1 a.m. So just to be out and about in a city when the weather's not good, to just hang out at a park or something, you kind of always needing to spend money every once in a while to get a coffee and relax at a cafe or grab a beer. Those are the things I would say if you are traveling to Japan on a budget. If you're a big coffee drinker or beer drinker, alcoholic drinks, if the weather's decent, if you can do it at a convenience store, you'll save a lot of money. So I've been getting my morning coffee just at Family Mart each day, and that saved a good chunk of change. Again, you normally can just grab a beer there and go to the park, and there's a lot of craft beers now at the convenience stores and stuff and good beer. But again, when the weather is just so bad, you want to pay just to go in somewhere. And I mean, if you're coming to Japan once in your life, you don't want to just constantly be at convenience stores all the time. You want to like experience cool restaurants and stuff. So yeah, I spent 9,000 yen on my first day, but it was so awesome. I mean, how could I say no to some of those opportunities? I will say though, I felt a little like guilty and bad about that. So on my second day, I did spend 4,000 yen, not including transport. If it was including transport, it would have been 6. But I kind of felt, maybe I'm cheating, but I kind of felt, nah, I can go back a bit on that. Anyway, so that just gives you a basic idea, probably somewhere between
5,000 and 10,000 yen per day. In Tokyo, if you really want to have a good time, we'll see what Matt's doing. Matt's a little bit better at being frugal than I am.
I first met David when I was working at I was working for a company called Gepik, which was a Korean company that put people, English speakers, into schools and had them teach English to the students. And there was a big convention going on, and on my way there, I was on a bus full of foreigners, and there were a lot of people I got to know, you know, a couple of people from my neighborhood that I was talking with. And then there was this guy that looked like a rock, kind of like a rock star. That's the best way to describe it. He had really cool clothes on, and I don't know, something was striking about David. And I thought, he seems like an interesting character. And then I remember sitting with him during one of our big lectures that were part of our training. And we just started talking about Metal Gear and Jet Set Radio and all these things that I was really into at the time and still am into. He was into as well. And it got us talking about how we were really both fascinated with Japanese culture and how we love Tokyo. And we talked about our trips to Tokyo and the times that we've spent in Japan. I'm not sure if David had been to Tokyo at the time, but yeah, we just started really hitting it off. And I remember thinking, this guy is like almost like me, but maybe too close. I wonder if in our podcast, if people get us confused at times, because sometimes I think we might even sound kind of similar. But I think it was, you know, it was kind of one of those things where you just meet somebody and you know that they're going to be your friend, you know, because they have the same interests and also just a very similar personality. And also that same love for Japanese culture and Japanese video games and food and music and books and everything. And I remember, yeah, just talking with him about how, like, I was collecting the fashion magazines from Japan and how he was into Popeye, the fashion magazine. And I thought, man, it's so, how did our lives become so similar? You know, when we're both from different parts of the United States, and how did we get into this culture so much, and kind of, you know, in some ways, I guess, left our homes behind us to go pursue this stuff.
24 years of frustration of and kind of having this secret that I kind of held with myself that I really like Japan. When I met Matt.
I want to kind of talk to you a bit about Matt and go a little bit deep into our history and a little more personal, since I do think this podcast, to some degree, is kind of like a buddy podcast, if there is such a genre. But this trip that we're doing is so much a dream of ours. And when we first met in Korea, we met at training for our work. We both worked for the government out there, the Korean government. And right away, there's a bond. Just some of, like, the video game stuff that Matt knew about. You know, I hadn't met many other people my whole life growing up. I was kind of shy and embarrassed to tell them that I really liked Japan. And when I would kind of test the waters and just kind of say, like, nerdy things, you know, like, did you know in Japan there's this thing called Cool Biz where you can wear casual clothes to work, or just... no one cared, rightfully so. I guess it's not that interesting unless you're obsessed. And once, you know, a lot of people who like video games, maybe there's a Japan interest there, but a lot of times I found in the past the games and stuff they like just aren't the same. But Matt and I really bonded over this game, Metal Gear Solid, which I hadn't really met many people who were super into, and it's not that rare of a game or anything. But then we kind of tested the waters, and he was more into, like, the artistic side of Japan and was interested in, like, a lot of kind of underground artists. and kind of more like the 90s, you know, culture stuff of Japan. He had traveled there before, and at this point in time, I don't think I'd ever been to Japan. So I loved, like, picking his brain about his trip to Japan. I can definitely remember all the stories he told me about him and his buddy Fernando, who came out before and had, like, this crazy awesome trip. And that kind of paved the way for Matt. And Matt's stories really paved the way for me.
So, yeah, it was one of those fated meetings. And it was, even when we were living in Korea, we did a lot to find Japanese culture out there, even though the relationship between Korea and Japan is not necessarily the best. But there's still aspects of it that trickle over. I mean, we went to, we'd find any ramen restaurant that would open in Korea and in Seoul and go to those places, or we'd go to the comic book shops or find the comic book shops or record shops. You know, there's, I believe it's called Tokyo Records in Seoul. And it just ended up that we just bonded over this stuff. And I know that we've talked about it for a long time, that we wanted to meet up and end up going to Tokyo together and, you know, checking out the scenes and doing some of the more obscure things that are a little harder to do when it's a big group of people, because, you know, it's hard to sometimes get seats and stuff in places in Tokyo, especially in the more niche place areas. And, you know, there's a lot of things that David and I have similar interests, but our wives don't necessarily always have the same interests. So sometimes it's a little difficult to persuade them to go on to some of the more nerdier and do the more nerdier things, and, you know, record all the record shopping that we want to do, and checking out weird neighborhoods like Jimbocho, which is where I am right now.
Although he had been to Tokyo, and I, on my travels after, I went to Osaka and Kansai a lot, where I ended up living, just because it was a little bit cheaper to go there, and I had friends there I could stay with for free. But yeah, you know, those are like some of the best memories of my life. And we used to make this plan, like, one day we have to go on a trip to Japan together. But I was just married at the time, and Matt had his girlfriend Emily at that time, and it is hard to, like, leave them. And, you know, when you're kind of obsessed or really into something, you know, you can't expect maybe always your significant other to be on that same level. And both of our significant others are very understanding and supportive, but there's a lot of places in the world that they wanted to travel. So we were never able to all come out and travel together. And, you know, just Matt and I living in Japan is such a dream that it is. But we both have this Tokyo itch, you know. And we've managed to come out here once before with our significant others. And it was a really, really awesome trip, you know. But time was always limited, you know. Matt and I see a record shop, and we're like, oh man, I want to go in there. But, you know, we feel bad making everyone wait. Or same with me, you know, I like vintage clothing or kind of these weird clothing brands that are kind of expensive that people wouldn't be interested in. I don't want to make everyone, you know, go in there and wait for me. So Matt is like the only other person in the world that I won't feel that way with, that we'll like all the same shops and we'll kind of like teach each other new things, new sides of Tokyo.
I really wanted to come out, but at the time I didn't know how easy it would be to get a job. I've heard I heard things like it would be difficult to find work here in Japan, so I didn't think I'd ever get the chance, or how would I look for work overseas. You know, it was really difficult because you had to apply for you know, a couple of companies. Aeon was one of them, and then there were a few others. Jet, I mean, is the most popular one, but David did, I mean, he did the smart thing. He went back to school and he got his teaching stuff together. So when he came out here, he got you know, he got a job and he had a nice place. And he offered to let my wife and I stay with them. And so, well, we decided to come and stay at their home while they were away at, David and his wife were away at Europe. And then we found our jobs out here. So really, I mean, if it wasn't for David being out here, I don't know if I'd be in Japan right now. Anyway, like, I think that I owe a lot to him, you know, for motivating me. I think that one of my struggles is always to, you know, motivate myself to do things, because I tend to get a little lazy at times. I won't exaggerate and say that I'm always a really motivated person, but I think now that I've done some of these things, it has made me a little more motivated. And I know that David's encouragement has always done that as well. Like, has always done cool things, and it challenged me to like try to do them as well. You know, I mean, that's one of the parts of our friendship that I really value. And then, I mean, the generosity that him and his wife have shown to, like, you know, my wife and myself, you know, something I'll never forget. And I'm just lucky to have, like, such a close friend out here in Japan with me to experience these things that I love.
We'll have about 2.5 whole days together. I'm just hanging out. And I'm really excited to see what I find, because I've come out here so many times, you kind of just get into a routine. And I talked a little bit on this trip how the buzz, the Tokyo buzz, I think this might be the last trip that I have it. I know Tokyo so well, and in a lot of ways I know it better than my hometown of Kobe. I think the layout of Tokyo, ironically, is a little bit easier to orientate around. But yeah, I feel like, honestly, in Japan, for me, Tokyo's kind of like a second home, you know? Something I've studied long before I came here, so I already know the maps and the neighborhoods. I did everything that I could, you know, to get ready back when I was, like, in high school and college. So, yeah, Tokyo has a very comfortable feeling for me. And I hope Matt can kind of, like, reinvigorate and show me some kind of new signs. And today we're actually going to be checking out a new area for me. I think Matt's been here once before. It's called Jimbocho, and it's known for vintage or old books. Are there new bookstores? I guess there are, but yeah, it sells it's dying medium. It sells kind of old books, and I'm actually in that area right now. And as I'm walking around, I'm already starting to feel that excitement, that Tokyo buzz. There's tons of really unique bookshops with old, like, Edo Meiji style art. I just love the look of Japanese bookstores. They fill them up just to the brim with books, almost to, like, a kind of dangerous looking level, you know, especially in a country that's known for having earthquakes. Yeah, this trip has me so excited. I mean, right now I'm walking around Jimbocho, these back alleys, so quiet. You never believe that you're in the biggest city in the world, and just so many, like, unique, quiet, independent restaurants. Not a lot of mom and pop, you know, joints. Yeah, I mean, they're scattered out. I did see a Starbucks by the station. I think these days it's almost impossible to avoid. But, you know, at least 90% or more of these places look like one-offs. I'm walking by, like, a jazz bar, just records in the window. Like, old wooden house with, like, tiki figures and, like, lanterns singing down. Now I'm by a shop that has a line of people out the door waiting for the lunchtime rush.
David really knows how to pull out those really great ideas, like podcast ideas. You know, he has, like, a list that he makes of on his off time, you know, of things that we could cover in the podcast. And they're always really awesome, awesome ideas. I'm glad that, you know, he has that creativity and the know-how to think of these cool concepts and cool things to talk about. I've been you know, trying to add more onto the list as well. But, oh, man, look who it is. David's here.
Yeah, I'm finally get to see my homeboy, Matt.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
How's it going? Good to see you.
Smash, 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 smash